Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Chanukah Chevra is fast approaching, and I wanna begin our first approach into this, our initial descent, or this one is an ascent. We're climbing up into Chanukah, so I wanna begin our preparation for this beautiful Chag, this gorgeous Chag called Chanukah. And I want to read, there are many places to start, there are many aspects of Chanukah. Today is the Shleishim, it's my father's Shleishim, and I want to talk about a point that Rav Hirsch speaks about Chanukah. I want to read to the Chevra, a beautiful point in Chanukah. Rav Hirsch writes, he describes what was going on in our people. Disloyalty to Hashem, disloyalty to Torah and Mitzvahs. We're good people, Chaim Zev. We're always a good people. Whenever we hear disloyalty, we picture like very sinister. There are things that even guys are bothered by that they see in their community and there's always things that need correction and perfecting. We're human beings. And there could always be things that are in disarray, that are not right in the service of Hashem. That's a normal thing. Rav Hirsch describes the challenges of the time in great detail, what was happening with Yiddishkeit. But then I want to read to you, Avi, what he says about Matas Yoh. The Chanukah story is a story of Klal Yisrael in the difficult space. A lot of people buying into Greek culture and its allure, all the temptations of the Greek culture, and one family, Matisyahu Banav, everything's very exact, and the Yeshua comes from one home. The salvation comes from one family, Matisyahu and his sons. And one man like makes a decision and ultimately causes a tremendous Yeshua in Klal Yisrael. I'd like to read a few paragraphs from Rav Hirsch. It like moves me a lot. When I was a youngster, I liked reading. Rav Hirsch has essays on all the months of the year. So I would carry, I have these little books in my house, and he has essays on every single month. He has numerous essays. They weren't written all together. He wrote in a paper, and he'd write every month an essay about that month. Today we have a collection on every single month, from Elul to Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sa'at, every month, and there are essays from Rav Hirsch on the month. I want to read, listen to this, Viggy, what he writes about Chanukah, about the family that saves. And there are two aspects I want to say. He says, one single pure spark, loyally treasured in but one single Jewish heart, is sufficient for Hashem to set aflame once more the whole spirit of Yiddishkeit. And if all the oil, if all the forces that were to have preserved the light of Hashem in Klal Yisrael were to be misused for the light of paganism, if everything goes off the derech, even then one little crucible of oil, one little pach shemen, one heart which is in a forgotten hidden corner, imprinted with the high priest's seal, has faithfully remained untouched and undefiled. This one pach is sufficient. One little canister, one little thing of oil is sufficient to become the salvation of the entire sanctuary when the right time and hour has come. And even though all countries were bound in obedience to Antiochus, if every man forsook the land of his fathers and assented the king's command, even then, this was the rallying cry of Matzio, I and my sons and brothers will not forsake the laws of our father. We're going to listen to Hashem. Thus spoke the loyal Chashmonaim heart of one single hero, advanced in years, and Israel's sanctuary was saved. One man, one sincerity in the heart of man. Therefore, says Rav Hirsch, go and kindle your light at the festival of the Maccabees. To kindle in your synagogue and your temple is not enough. Nerish Ubeisa is the precept of Chanukah. In your own home there shall be a light for you and for your house. He says, of what avail is it to us if we sing praises in our house of worship, if in the temples we call ourselves Jews in a momentary access of devotion, while our homes are un-Jewish, and we do not harbor in our homes the light of the Jewish spirits. Our salvation has not issues from temples in the past, nor will it now. The deliverance will come from the home. How good are the sermons of your preachers, how well your cantors sing, this makes no difference. The important thing is how your children prattle, whether the Jewish spirit shines in them, whether Jewish sap flows in their veins, whether the Jewish way of life is their education. On this depends victory and deliverance. Rev Hirsch spoke a lot about bringing Yiddishkeit to the home. It's not just, Rev Hirsch wrote in one essay that he wants to close shuls for 100 years. Now, he wasn't being literal. He didn't mind shuls. Rev Hirsch held of shuls. What he did say is sometimes we settle for public service, for public prayer, and we forget to bring it in the privacy of our home. And he says the Yeshua of Hanukkah happened from one person, a man and his family. Loyalty in the home, a Jewish home that's pure, that's sincere, that's serving Hashem authentically. He says, do not regard your home with unconcern. He said, if you yourself are the only one who still preserved the spirit of the Maccabees in his home, remember that one single Jew, one single Jewish house is ultimately in itself sufficient to serve as foundation for the re-erection of the entire Jewish sanctuary. He says, the fewer comrades you have, the more the spirit of the Hashmoneim has faded around you, the more faithfully you must guard it. The more fervently must you yourself prepare the spirit of place of refuge in your own home. I always love this piece from Rav Hirsch. I'll tell you why. I'm not capable. I'm sure there are people who know history well and can tell you the story of Rev Hirsch. I could tell you that he did. There was a lot of, in his time, people were going off the derech and in mass. And Rev Hirsch separated with a small group of Yidden and they stood strong to Yiddishkeit. He seceded. He left the larger kehillah, went with a few Yidden. So I like he writes this piece about the power of the Yachid, the single person, Nerish Ubesai, a person in his home, quietly in his home, who stands up for the truth and the power and the impact of the Yachid, of the one person who stands up for the truth. The power, that how much, how strong, how far that goes. The guy, I spoke Thursday night to the Chevra about my father, about my parents, about a decision they made in youth. Clearly, they made decisions in youth to stand up for Torah. And I look now at the impact, thousands of people impacted by one guy who went to a more modern school and one girl went to a more modern school, wonderful schools, but they did teach Yadus and Yiddishkeit, and two people took it seriously and made a stand. And Rav Hirsch describes Hanukkah, the Nerishu Beisai, a man, one authentic home, Matisyahu Banav, one man, one sincere person, and there could be tumah all over and falling all over, and the power of the Yachid, the power individual. There's many aspects to Hanukkah. There are many, many aspects to Hanukkah, but one aspect is Rabin Bad Ma'atim. I always appreciated Rav Hirsch writing about it and speaking about it, because a little bit that was the story of his own life. Reb Yisrael Salanter was amazed by the moves of Rev Hirsch, by the moves, the sincerity, the writings of Rev Hirsch. It's interesting, there was a Yid, who we have heard of Rev Marcus Lehman. Have you heard of Rev Marcus Lehman? Rev Marcus Lehman was a Yid who saw a lot of people also going off the derech. He saw Yidden and he saw a lot, they were drawn by sophisticated writings. And he decided to write books. Marcus Lehman was Nifter over 100 years ago. Hervezi? Over 100 years ago. So Marcus Lehman saw, Viggy, that people were reading books and enthralled by writing and sophisticated writing. And he felt that in the German language, we didn't have enough good Jewish stuff. And he wrote novels that were full of Yerushalayim. and he like that we're attractive and interesting. He wrote books, and he was a tzaddik who wanted to show and stood up, show people they can read and be knowledgeable and understanding and be moved closer to Hashem. Years ago, a bacher called me in yeshiva. In the high school, this was about 15 years ago. A guy called me up in yeshiva. He said, Rebbe, a man is here. When we in Waterbury Frapper, Chaim Zev. And he asked me that there's a man selling books. He's selling books. And he wants to know, could he sell books in yeshiva? I was so impressed with the bacher and the man. He wanted to know, does he have a right to sell books in yeshiva? Like, do we let him sell these books in yeshiva? So I was home. I couldn't run out to yeshiva. So I said, could you find out his name and what books he's selling? Like, what is he, you know, if he's selling the New Testament, kick him out. What's he selling? So the bacher asked, and the bacher comes back and told me it's Marcus Lehman is here. And he's selling Marcus, he's selling his books.
He died 1890.
So yes, I was like, I was to the bacher. Marcus Lehman's here, we got a story. Yes, it turned out it was Marcus Lehman's like anical. Kobe the bacher didn't know what the word anical meant. He was a grandson, great-grandson. He was a descendant of Marcus Lehman. And somehow was lost in the translation. He was selling his books in yeshiva, which I certainly let and encourage. He wrote some beautiful book. I believe almost called Bustanai was one of his books. I think one of his stories. I read it as a kid. Beautiful book. He wrote these beautiful stories that the purpose of the books were using a lot of people being enthralled by the literature of the time and the beautiful writings. Bustanai. I read it as a kid. Bustanai. Is it about the Shach and his daughter, Bustanai? I read it a long time ago. But anyway, you ever read it, Akiva? It's very good. It happens to be good. But anyway, I remember as a youngster thinking it's good. But there were people who like really like fought. There was a certain push, a certain way. And a yachid stands up and lives authentically and lives the right way. It's tremendously, tremendously powerful. And one aspect of the Hanukkah miracle, there's many things to talk about, is the power of the individual, and specifically in the quiet, in the solitude of his home. Everything's very exact. The story of the Yeshua is Matisyahu Banav, one man and his sons. One man in the quiet of his home says, yeah, there's crazy stuff going on out there. And there's all different type, but privately in here. I happen to, lately, I've been singing this song a lot, it's dark outside, but it's light in here. I think about this, that it could be, there could be all different things going on out there, all different frustrations and complications. I met this morning with a beautiful yeshiva kid. He was describing things he was frustrated by. And the yeshiva system is beautiful and has many beautiful things. And he was describing an aspect that bothers him. And it's possible he's right. I'm not here to weigh to judge. I want to say that one beautiful person, not with negativity, not with bashing, not with knocking, you don't do anything. With positivity, with construction, can ignite and light something. There's a line I want to share with the Chevra. I was zeicher to learn Masechtas Nedarim with my father. And there's a line in Nedarim I want the guys to remember. The line says as follows. This is the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Stiras Zekeinim Binyan, and Binyan Yeladim Stira. I'm going to translate the words. Stiras Zekeinim Binyan, the destruction of elders is constructive. When elders knock, they're just trying to build. Stiras Zekein and Binyan. Elders knock, they're just trying to build. And Binyan Yeladim, youngsters build Stira and they're destroying. That's the line. Simple pshat, it can mean you could take when it says a youngster, it means a wild, somebody not doing things right. And it looks like they're constructing and they're really destroying. Their constructs are destructive. What they're creating is destructive. An elder person looks like he's destroying, he's really building. That's the simple shot in the Gemara. We can understand that sometimes an elder person criticizes. It looks like he's knocking, he's really just trying to build. Even when it looks like he's destroying, he's just trying to build. Youngsters could look creative and they're destroying. So we could all understand that. But I heard a different shot in the Gemara that I want to share with you. And I want to say that Bin and Yeladim Stira, youngsters try to build with destroying. Bashing this, knocking that, knocking the next thing. This is bad, that's bad. Youngsters build by destroying. Zakenim are the opposite. You know how they destroy binyan with building? Stira Zakenim, they see something wrong, they don't attack, they don't knock. You know what they do? They build. Stira Zakenim building, binyan. The way Zakenim, if they see a flaw, they don't knock, they don't bash, they just construct. They make beautiful things. And you know what happens? They build beautiful things. The other things fall away. Stira Zakenim binyan. Often the best way, you notice something wrong, so construct. So construct, let's build. Let's make something beautiful. Matasyahu Banav sees something that's not true in him and his sons, in his home, with sincerity, with authenticity. They build something beautiful and create something that ultimately saves our whole people. So I love the way Rav Hirsch writes about this. To me, he was such an R himself in his own life at a time that there was a lot of things going on, and he built and he created this beautiful little sincere kehillah that ultimately had a massive, massive, massive impact. We're used to today, Baruch Hashem, we have a very built-up from community. Many b'nei Torah, our bate midrashas, our bate kenesias, our Baruch Hashem, very full. There was a day it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. And Yechidim, individuals stood up and with sincerity they built and it had massive, massive impact on many. It had tremendous, tremendous impact on many. I went last night to the yeshiva of my youth. And it was like a trip back to memory lane. I was in that yeshiva where my father taught for 45 or 46 years. I said the number 47 is 45 or 46 years. My Rebbe was the Rosh Yeshiva there for over 50 years. I went back to the building. That's interesting. Physically, when I was in the building, it was like a little shoebox. It was a tiny building. It was beautiful, but it was small. Today, it's a new, they rebuilt it. They knocked down the shoebox and built beautiful construction. And I was in this big building of many, many B'nai Torah. It's a very big place. When I was there, it was a small little Beis Medrash. It's for sure double. It might be triple the size the way it was, just physically. The physical space, it's much bigger. Could be triple the size, for sure double. It's much, much bigger. And I just thinking to myself, my Rebbe built the place. My Rebbe described to us, I was in the city, but even he described to us the early years of the city. They were good Yidden, but they weren't Yidden learning Torah. When I was in the city growing up, I was a Kohl guy. I was one of the only Kohl guys in the city. Darche Torah didn't have a high school, let alone a Beis Medrash or a Kohl. Many of the Kohlim didn't exist. I'm not saying there weren't any other. There was very few Kohl Yungalite. Today, in the yeshiva, there are multiple Kohlim. And many people learning Torah and much construction. I just think of my Rebbe at a time when it was much less popular. My Rebbe left elementary school because his father didn't think it was a good influence. Most of the kids did not go on to be frum. So at a time when it was not very popular to learn, to build a life of limudat Torah, of serving Hashem. It's not the spirit of the times. It wasn't what was going on around. And individuals decided to build and construct and make. And I see the impact. It's like startling, a serious, a whole raging fire. Something beautiful is developed. Big families, many, many people impacted. And I'm getting to experience the power of one, the power of a family, specifically in a home, specifically a mishpacha, specifically a family. I was zeichel, it's interesting that typically somebody grows up with his Rebbe. Often you don't see the Rebbe with his family. I was zeichel, my Rebbe's son was one of my best friends growing up. We're friends now for 47, 48 years. We're in the same class since kindergarten. So we literally grew up. I was zeichel, my parents were very close to my Rebbe and his wife. So I got to see families. Sincere, authentic, the word honest, Tyradic, Tyrad true families and its impact. A big message of Hanukkah. A big message of Hanukkah is the power of one Pach Shemen. If you're a very big literalist, so you see one, all of us know the story, all the oil was contaminated, and they found one pure pach, hidden away that was untouched. So of course it means physically there was such a miracle, but it's saying something. It's saying even if there's a lot of impurity, find that one. Now besides the power of one, I want to say within ourselves there's a pach shemen. Even if much of us has been contaminated and there's all different parts, there remains something pure inside. Dig into that, plug into that, and serve Hashem from there. There's places of purity and the value, a little bit. There's a line from the Chovas Halvavos that Ma'at mina or doicha harbi chayshach. A little light dispels a lot of darkness. And the power of the small, the power of a little. I have said over years, it's interesting, that the Goyim, there's a park on the way home that you could pass by, and the Goyim and their holidays have massive amounts of lights. Somebody told me for Hanukkah, he saw a Frum family like put lights all over their house. The reality is that, no comments. The reality is the Ner Hanukkah is very small. Light, night one, we do one hour, one light. The reality is we do very little. I'm very competitive. So I remember a year I used to walk home from Yeshiva and back and seeing all the lights. I'm like, you see the Goyim and their houses and trees flying with lights. And the Yid has one light. There's what to ask, what to think about. But this year specifically, I'm thinking the power of a little art. The power of a little, and it's very exact. We light one candle, we add a little more light, and the power of the small, of the Rabbanbad Ma'atim, and specifically the one canister, the nace happened from one shemen, and it's powerful, and specifically in the dark, a little in the light it wouldn't be relevant, but sometimes a lot of dark, one little candle, it's like, whoa, I could see, one little candle. I have this, you've probably all done this, us kids, I still like doing it, I like pulling over, there are roads upstate, you could do it, in New York, most places there are a lot of lights, I love going to a place that's pitch black, and you turn off your car lights, you ever done this, don't do it while you're driving, you ever done this, Chaim Zem? It's cool to see, like, deep darkness. You go certain places upstate, near Heller, like, deep in forest, you turn off the light, it's like a powerful darkness. You don't see it much in the typical New York because always this, they call it light pollution, there's light from everywhere. If you go to a place, you see a lot of darkness, then just turn on the light. It's like, you see what Ma'at min ha'or doicha harbi chayshach, a little light dispels a lot of darkness. One time, be safe. Don't do it with any cars driving, but go park on a quiet road where there's no lights and turn off its... But Lyman is a good place to do it. Then you turn on the lights, and it's like you see the power of a little light in the darkness, and it like lights it up. There's something very exact that we don't do tons of lights. And we're saying something, this aspect that we're trying to speak out, therefore go and kindle your light. To kindle it, but not in your shul, Nerish you brace in your own home, there should be a light for you and your house. He describes this private, sweet, sincere light that a guy lights in his home, and he saves all of Klal Yisrael from that light. He describes Matisyo, the loyal Yid, privately speaking to his children, creating one beautiful home of sincerity, and its impact is like wide-reaching. I'm going to ask Mechila I'm going to use a sports mashal. My mind thinks in sports, but I like the mashal. In camps, I remember the first three-point shooters. Nobody knew how to take a three-point shot. It wasn't part of the game. If you knew basketball, many games. I played for years in Heller. This guy played in Heller's outdoor court. There was no three-point line. There was no three-point shot. They didn't play with it. Even gyms that had a three-point line, people didn't shoot it. The goal was to get layups. A rare guy hit a three. The goal was to get layups. Came guys, this is sports, and they changed the game. And people figured out mathematically, and people shoot crazy amount of threes. I remember the first guy is hitting threes, and he's like an exception. And then the people get further and further threes. As one guy does it, all of a sudden many do it. It's the way it works. others learn, others are impacted. That's on something like sports. All of a sudden you come back a few summers later, every kid, like big and small, could hit like long threes. It's what everybody does. It becomes in and it spreads. Lahavdil, an infinite havdalis, is that somebody finds the emes. Somebody finds the truth and lives it with sincerity. At first, he's a lone person living the truth. It's time, and with time, people learn, and it spreads, and people care. And the next one, this is what happens. And Chanukah calls the person Nerishu Beisai. In dark times, when the streets aren't necessarily the best influences in the world, and people could see things, even institutionally, that they feel, it's not for me. It doesn't talk to me. This is not, yeshivas try their best. There are a lot of kids, especially here, that have some allergy to that which is forced. That which they don't feel is, it's very systematic, and it's trying, but it feels very forced. And I'm going to use the word fake, because nobody means to fake, but it looks very chitzoniistic. And a guy feels so frustrated. In your own home, with your own self, build something of sincerity. It will impact. It will impact tremendously. A guy in his own home with his family takes his friends and he builds something with sincerity. Nerishu Beisai, in the privacy of his home. With just him, his family. First he starts himself. The guys are before the age of marriage. And then slowly they build it with their family. Slowly that has a tremendous, tremendous impact. I want to read these words. I like these words. He says, do not forget Ishu Beisai. This is the injunction. This is the mission. You and your house, if you desire to live for Judaism, you must not remain content to saturate only yourself with the Jewish spirit. Only when you have established a Jewish spirit as a heritage in your home will you have lived for Judaism. If, like the Mahadran, you appreciate your task correctly, you will not remain satisfied to let the light of Judaism shine your eyes in a general way. You will kindle ner l'chol echad echad. You will give your full attention to each child, to each individual member of your house, in order to win him to Judaism. Then the light of Judaism may continue to shine forth in him. Matisyo could die in peace. He knew that whatever of his sons would survive him, Yochanan Shimon, Yehuda Elazar, or Yonasan, in each one the flame of the divine light of Judaism continued to live. That's the Nerishu Beisai, the igniting his own family and being mechazik. Yeah. Dadezi, when are we going
to... You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekoymos on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.